So I want to draw your attention to the 25th verse of Ephesians chapter 5 as we read God's instruction to husbands. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hates his own wife, or his own flesh rather, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. You know, this message really is very specific to husbands. And so if you are married and you are a husband, then this message is for you. How many husbands are here in the room? So a good, I wouldn't say majority, but a good part of the congregation here are married men. How many of you younger men one day plan to be husbands? Raise your hands. You're looking to be married. There's quite a few more hands that are going up. How many of you have been married, but you're not married any longer? And so you have an experience. You've been married, and you know what it's like to be in the position of a husband, the responsibility, the role of a husband. Well, this message is going to speak really to all of you and that are married, who are hoping to get married. You have been married. Maybe for those of you who have been married and now you're no longer married, you were married before you came to know Christ, and now you're a believer and you're no longer married, and you can receive from God's counsel how you ought to be as a husband, because maybe down the road you may be getting married, and so this will be very helpful. But whether you are married or not, a woman, and obviously a woman will never fit the role of a husband, but this still is very applicable for you because you can understand what the responsibility of a husband is. If you're looking, these are the characteristics for a single woman who's looking for a man to look for. You're going to want to look for a man that has some of these characteristics, although the individual won't be a husband yet, but one very, very profound mark that you want to look for is that he is a man after God's heart. I would never, if I was a woman, I would never marry a man who is not a believer. I think that you could be making a grave mistake. But this morning we're going to focus in on the husbands. And Paul, he mentions basically three things. The first thing is the what husbands are supposed to do. The how husbands are supposed to do the what. And then lastly, to what extent. So Paul tells us the what. This is the dominant command given here in Scripture as to what the husband is supposed to do in regards to his wife. The number one thing that he is to do is to love his wife. As we read in verse 25, husbands, love your wives. Husbands, love your wives. And I believe that this commandment is given because there is the tendency in men to love themselves more than they love their wives. We as men, we tend to be more self-focused and self-centered. And thus the commandment. I mean, think about it. It's a command. The scripture gives a command. Husband, love your wife. And the word love is the word for agape. There are different types of love, or there are different types of words that express love, like brotherly love, phileo. There's the intimate or the sexual love, which there's a different Greek word that expresses that type of love. But here Paul uses the word agape. It's that unconditional love. It's a love with no limits. And then Paul tells us how, because we need to see in pictures of how to love this way. Husbands, how are we to love? So Paul tells us very clearly. He says, for us as husbands, our model is Jesus. The way that Jesus loved his bride, the church, is the model for us husbands to love our bride. And so he tells us in verse 25, just as Christ also loved the church. He also tells us in verse 29, using Jesus as the model, he says in verse 29, for no one ever hates his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. So here he gives us Jesus as our model. Now, he talks about a few things that we are to look out for, or ways that we are to love our wives. And the first thing that he mentions is sacrificially, because this is the way that Jesus loved his bride, the church. Look at what it says here in verse 25. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Paul doesn't tell us that he gave of himself, but he gave himself. You know, and sometimes we as husbands, we are more self-centered and self-focused, and we only give of ourselves to our spouses. But as Christian men, the directive is that we are to give ourselves, our lives completely, for the caring and for the nurturing of our wives. You know, so often a husband gets so wrapped up in his own hobbies, his work, fill in the blank, and he only gives his wife certain time. Honey, I can't. I can't today. I can't because I can't. I can't. Tell you what. On Saturday, between 1 and 3, I can. I'll be there just for this amount of time. Of course, I'm kidding and going to an extreme. But as husbands, we have to be careful. One of the most important things for our wives is to feel that they are priority number one in our lives. Under the sun. I know some of you might be thinking, well, Jesus has to be priority. That's a given. Jesus Christ must come first, without question. But under the sun, a wife wants to feel that as far as her husband is concerned, that she is the most important thing to him, not the hobby, not the friends, not the career. And until a wife feels that, she is going to have a difficult time fulfilling her role as a wife, as we looked at last week, and that was submission and willfully submitting herself under the headship of her husband. And so it's very important, especially for you young marriages, that you husbands invest in your wives and make sure that they always feel that they are the most important thing to you. If they see that you are more selfish and self-centered, you're going to have conflicts in your marriage. So husbands, if you're having conflicts in your marriage, and maybe it's been 10 years, 15 years, 20, 30 years. See, marriage is not something that can be fixed and worked out once. Or it's something that you have problems only in your first or two or three years. If there are certain key things that aren't dealt with and worked on, those problems can just prolong themselves over many years of marriage. And so husbands, if you want to make sure that your marriage continues to progress in the right direction, you must love your wives. Make her feel special. And if you're having conflict in your marriage right now, husband, you should ask yourself, are or am I loving my wife the way that God desires for me to love my wife? Do I make her feel like she's priority number one? Do I make her feel special and loved and valued? Do I make her feel that her feelings are important to me? That her input matters? Because if you're not being concerned with these aspects of your relationship with your wife, you're going to have conflict. And so God wants us to avoid the conflict. Just because we're sinful and just because we are bent towards doing what's wrong, there's going to be conflict. Every marriage has conflict. Even the best of marriage have conflicts. And it's how we resolve those conflicts is what makes a marriage a good one. It makes a marriage work. And God here, he's giving us the pattern for how to have a wonderful marriage, and for husbands, how to value your wife and make her feel very important to you. Because that's the most important thing as far as, well, I shouldn't say that's the most important thing, but that is very important for a wife to feel that she is valuable to you, and that she senses in her spirit and she knows that she's very important to you. And so here Paul, he tells us, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, this is the way husbands are to love their wives. And so that's a sacrificial love. It's the type of love that is thinking about your spouse more than yourself. I mean, think about what Jesus did. Jesus is the authority of all authorities, and yet he humbled himself, and he gave himself up. He gave his life for us, his bride. And it didn't diminish his authority at all. It didn't diminish his headship at all. But as a loving head, he cared for his bride. And think about how good Jesus has cared for us, huh? Jesus is so good to us. Think of all the things that we've done wrong. And we've asked Jesus to forgive us, and he's forgiven us, hasn't he? And that no matter what, no matter how far we've strayed, when we've repented and we've turned to Christ, he was there for us, wasn't he? He didn't say, you know what, David, it's just so much, David. You're just too much work. You're too much work. You don't think right, David. You don't obey me fully. You're half-hearted at times. You know what, David? I'm done with you. Jesus has never done that to me, to you, or to anyone that turns to him. You know what, David? You're a real pain. You're a pain. You know, David, I don't want to be with you right now. You know, you annoy me. I never get that feeling from Jesus. And Jesus has loved us with that unconditional love. He's loved us with that sacrificial love. And the second thing in how a husband is to love his wife is he's to care for her spiritual well-being and bring value to her. So not only do we see Jesus as the master model loving his bride sacrificially, we also see how Jesus cares for his bride's spiritual well-being. As it says in verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. You know, one thing that I've learned in my almost 25 years of marriage, and I learned this earlier on, is that God is not calling us to force our wives into being a mold that we in our minds as husbands think they should meet, or these expectations that we put on our wives. That's not what God intends for husbands, to try to manipulate and force something on our wives. Now, I don't think that any good husband would ever do that intentionally, but when we think about trying to lead our wives spiritually, if we do it in the flesh, we could be get very, very frustrated as husbands. So this is what it might look like by trying to care for your wife's spiritual well-being in the flesh. When was the last time you read your Bible? That won't go over well. I don't see you reading the Bible. I see you watching TV more than reading the Bible. That won't go over well. Come here, honey. Let me teach you. Sit down. It's not going to go over well. After church, on the ride home, did you hear what he said? Did you hear what the pastor said? I felt God was talking right to you, honey. None of that's going to work. I tried all of it. Maybe not like that. It's not going to work. I'll never forget one day, and God spoke to me so profoundly through my wife many times, but this one day I'll never forget. Because I used to do maybe not specifically those things, but I would do certain things. One day she turned to me and she said, "David, will you stop playing the Holy Spirit in my life?" Man, I didn't hear Nina's voice. I heard God's voice. You know, the most effective way to lead your wife spiritually is for you to be a spiritual individual. For you to seek the Lord husband. For you to be in the word husband. For you to set the precedence in the home. You don't have to force anything on her. Usually, good leaders, you'll find that there will be people that will follow good leaders. And if you, as a husband, you yourself are spiritually fit, and you're in the scriptures, and you're compassionate, and you're patient, and you're kind, and you set a good example, she'll follow. She might not follow right away, but if you try to force something, you're going to get resistance. And that's a way you'll know if you're leading correctly or if you're leading in the flesh, because if you're leading in the flesh, you're generally going to get resistance. But if you lead in the Spirit, over time, she'll follow. Think about how Jesus has led you. How Jesus, the good shepherd, if we're the bride, he's our husband. Has Jesus been constantly criticizing every one of your every steps? Is that how you feel? Always like you can't meet up to Jesus' standard? Or do you feel that Jesus is patient and when you fall, he's there to encourage you and to help you? And so, one of the signs you'll know when you're not leading right is you're going to get some resistance from your spouse. Now, don't get me wrong. You can have a good spouse, and you can have a real stinker for a bride. Don't get me wrong. There are people that are just bent towards being difficult. But if you knew her for any amount of time before you said, I do, then you knew what you were getting into. Nobody put a gun to your head. So now you got to work it out God's way. Follow the pattern because it works. Be patient. You know, it's interesting because if you go back to Genesis, let's turn to Genesis. Chapter 3. You know, before the fall, there was no marriage problems. Adam and Eve got along great before the fall. They lived in perfect and complete harmony. But then after Eve, being deceived by the serpent, ate, and then she gave to her husband, and he ate. And instead of Adam going to the Lord and saying, Eve, what have you done? He didn't correct her. He didn't lead the way he should have. And so it just brought more problems, and it brought sin into the world, and sin brought death. And then marital problems started. And since the beginning of the fall, people have been getting married, there's been marital problems. And this could be, as some ministers have said, and some scholars and commentators, could be the main reason why. We know ultimately it's because of the fall. But in verse 16, chapter 3, he said to the woman, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. There was a change that took place. And there are some scriptures that, or rather, some translators that translate that scripture. And some commentators, as I said, believe that this is a very, very possible translation, is that the wife will want to dominate her husband, and the husband will want to rule or dominate over the wife. And you have two people that want to dominate each other, you are going to have conflict. And that's often what we see. We often see a wife that tries to usurp her authority over the husband and to try to dominate the husband. And that's why I said earlier, there are some women that are just bent that way. And you could be a husband that you're doing everything right, and you got a little stinker for a wife. But that's generally not the case. I think most women want, Christian women want to be pleasing to God and do what's right. And all of us, whether we're a husband or wife, we're called to obey Jesus' word and to change in those areas that need changing. And I think a godly wife will start to work on her attitudes and things that hinder her from fulfilling God's will. So if a man leads in a way that's pleasing to God, I have to believe that the wife eventually will follow. I know that God's word works, and that's why these patterns, if they're taken to heart and applied regularly, will promote a much healthier marriage and relationship. Let me just throw this in before we go further. Statistically, marriages, and there might be the case that some marriages here are on the brinks of, you're just having such conflict, and there's so much tension and turmoil, and you're thinking about quitting on your marriage. Maybe you haven't mentioned that to your spouse, But that's what you're thinking in your heart. Well, people who made the commitment to stay together and to work through their issues, and they were perhaps heading towards that direction of divorce, but they made that decision to work it out. 5 years later, those unhappy marriages were happy. 5 years later. Now, some of you might think, well, I don't have 5 years. Let me tell you, 5 years is not that long. Because people who end up divorced aren't any happier down the road, and many live with regret. So it's better to love the one you're with, work it out, and put God's pattern into place, because it will yield the most fruit and the greatest rewards long term. You know, at some point you want to think past yourself and past your present and think down the road when you are in your golden years. You want to be alone when you're in your golden years just because you couldn't learn to love your wife? Do you want to have Christmas and Easter with some kids with you, some kids not? Have family gatherings when you're alone and the family's gathering at your ex-wife's house? Now, if that's your situation, I sympathize for you. I don't mean to make anyone feel bad. But you have to think beyond the present. There are consequences. There are consequences, and the best thing to do always is to obey God's word. And if you're having some conflict in your marriage, you have to ask yourself, honestly, how are you contributing to the conflict? Not he's the problem or she's the problem. You won't get anywhere if you approach it that way. You know, so often in life, it's not the people that we're around. It's the attitude that we develop about those people that we're around that causes trouble so often. Now, the husband is to care for his wife's spiritual well-being, and the best way for you to do that is to be an example yourself. And what's very, very important is to expose her to the Word of God, husbands. It's such a blessing that you can come to church and hear the Word of God. And it's so important for you men as the spiritual leaders to be a part of the congregation, be sitting in the sanctuary and bringing your family and leading your family in the things of God. You know, as far as God is concerned, you know what the most important institution is to the Lord? Is His church. It's the pillar and ground of truth. It's the only place on this planet, if the minister and the leadership team really believe the scriptures, it's the only place where the truth of God is going to be taught, the only institution. You're not going to get the scriptures taught in the workplace, and yet people, men, they give their lives for the workplace. But you're not going to get the Word of God there. You're not going to get the Word of God on Monday night football. You're not going to get the Word of God on the golf course. And if you neglect developing your wife's spiritual well-being by being a leader yourself, setting a good example, and being in the house of God and being with the people of God, you could potentially negatively affect your future. Not only is the husband to care for his wife and show his love sacrificially, that's the way Jesus showed his love, sacrificially. He cared for the bride, he cared for her spiritual being, our spiritual being, but also Jesus, he cared for the church's practical and emotional needs, physical needs rather. You see where he says in verse 27, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. That doesn't only mean her spiritual well-being, but also her practical well-being, her physical well-being. And look at what he says, to the extent, Paul says, so husbands, as Christ cared for his wife, so husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. See, because Christ is the head of the church is the body, it's one unit. And the head is what gives signals, Christ is the head, he gives the signals, and the body functions in harmony with the head. Could you imagine if your body, and some of us were experiencing it more and more the older we get, where our body's not cooperating with our head. But imagine a body that's just doesn't want to work with the head. There has to be that unity and that oneness. And here, Paul, he uses the example. He says, husbands are to love their own wives as their own bodies, because you care about yourself, husband. You care about the way you look. You nurture your body. You really love yourself. You may deny that, but it's true. You love yourself. You can't get enough of yourself. That's why you keep looking in the mirror. And here, Paul says, he who loves his wife loves himself. You really do care about yourself, or the sign that you really are mature in love as a husband is how you love your wife. If you really love yourself, if you really care about yourself, and you really are one that wants the best for yourself, the most important thing you can do is love your wife. Love your wife. And then verse 29, he says, for no one ever hates his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. You cherish, you nourish your own body. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. And then in verse 31, Paul, he quotes an Old Testament scripture out of Genesis. He says, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. As husbands, now our wives become a part of us. I mean, we are one flesh. And just as I care about my own physical body and my emotions, and I'm in tune with myself, that's how much I must care for my wife, for her physical well-being, for her emotional well-being, and be concerned with how she feels. I'll tell you, husbands that really care about the way their wives feel and what they think and are there to support them and to help them take care of them, the needs that they have, wives really appreciate and love their husbands. They get a good response. But if you're a husband that you really don't take into consideration what your wife feels or what she thinks, you're just hurting yourself. And if all you care about is yourself and how you feel, and you don't take her into consideration, really that's selfish. And you're going to suffer the consequences for that. And that could be all the years of your married life. And what happens, you'll just learn how to cooperate with each other, but your attitude towards each other won't be positive. And you'll look at each other, and in your heart, you'll feel negative feelings towards your spouse. And why live 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years in an environment? Why live that way when you can make it much better? Husband, if you just love your wife, start dying to yourself, care about her spiritual well-being, and care about her practically. And then he says, this is a great mystery, verse 32, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Christ and the church. We're going to wrap this up in just a minute. But I wanted to share this little story, and it goes like this. A wife found her husband standing over their baby's crib, observing the baby one night. Silently, she watched him as he stood looking down at the sleeping infant. She saw in his face a mixture of emotions: disbelief, doubt, delight, amazement, enchantment, skepticism. Touched by this unusual display and the deep emotions it aroused, with eyes glistening, she slipped up her arm around her husband and she said, "A penny for your thoughts?" And he replied, "It's amazing. I just can't see how anybody can make a crib like that for only $46.50. What's my point? Spouses often think very different about the same things. Your spouse is not going to look at the same thing the way you see it. Differences in thought will lead to difficulties in marriage. So that's why it's so important to abandon the way you see things and see things the way God sees things. See, because God is always right. And so bottom line, God says this. In conclusion, he says, nevertheless, verse 33, and he's talking to wives and husbands. Let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. The husband views his wife one way, or views things one way, the way things are going. The wife views things a different way. You will never see the same things. Rarely will you see the same things the same way when it comes to explosive type of situations. And if you're waiting to see everything the same way, you're not going to ever have harmony and peace in your marriage. So both of you, the only way to see things the right way is to see things God's way. And God says this because he is our creator and he is the head of every married couple. He says, husbands, love your wives. Wives, see that you respect your husbands. These are two fundamental needs. Man has that need to feel respected by his wife, and a wife has the need to be loved by her husband. You could see it however you want, but it won't be until you see it God's way and you say, if you're a wife, God, for your sake, I'm going to start to respect my husband. I'm going to respect him for the man that you've created him to be. He is the head of this home, so I'm going to respect him. I'm going to show him that I can yield under his leadership, and I willfully submit myself under his headship. You start doing the right thing first, and then the right things will follow. And husbands, regardless of what conflict you're in, whatever you're thinking, you can dwell on it all you want. It's not going to help. It'll start getting better when you start loving your wife. You start loving your wife, exercise love. Love her the way Christ loved the church. You'll see in a year from now how your marriage improves. In 2 years from now, how your marriage improves. This was taken out of an article. The Bible states in Ephesians 5:33 that husbands are to love their wives and wives are to respect their husbands. Seems easy, right? But this common cited verse makes a point that often is overlooked. Men and women differ when it comes to their deepest relational needs. If a husband's deepest need, which is respect, and a wife's deepest need is love, are fulfilled, the relationship is able to flourish. But when these needs are unmet, the cycle begins. Dr. Eggeridge calls it the crazy cycle. And so why this crazy cycle? When a woman feels unloved, Eggeridge explains, she reacts in a way that seems disrespectful to her husband. Then he reacts to this disrespect in ways that feel unloving to his wife. The more she complains and criticizes, the more he shuts down and stonewalls. The message, listen, she's trying to send is that she feels unloved at the moment, Egeridge says. But she will react in very negative ways that, in the male arena, feels disrespectful. She isn't trying to be disrespectful, but she is feeling unloved. Sadly, the husband may not decode that. So how do you stop the crazy cycle once it starts? Egeridge says, it is as obvious as it seems. Mutual understanding begins when wives respect their husbands and husbands love their wives. When a wife and a husband are just committed to do what God says, then you get off the crazy cycle. And so often we'll say, you start first, but that doesn't work. Now, the husband's greatest need is respect. Here this individual writes, and I quote, 2 years into our marriage, Karen and I simply could not get along. We were young and immature. I was an emotional bully. She constantly belittled me. Neither of us was happy, and the way we spoke to each other made that clear. One evening, I was watching a football game when something happened that I'll never forget. Karen was preparing dinner, and she brought me a plate of food. When she gave it to me, she kissed me on the cheek and gently said, I love you. Then she smiled and returned to the kitchen. I was in shock. She didn't usually talk to me so nicely because I did nothing to deserve it. But that moment had a profound impact on me. I immediately felt terrible about all the hateful things I had said to her. Her gentle act of honor and humility was like heaping coals on my guilty conscience. That day, I experienced firsthand the power of a gentle and quiet spirit. It was a lesson I've never forgotten because I realized it was something I needed desperately from her, as do all men. This is not some unique discovery I've stumbled onto. In fact, it's a truth documented by nearly every serious study conducted on the dynamics of marriage. Both Christian and secular marriage experts understand that married men want and need respect from their spouses. Men are physically and emotionally incapable of binding their hearts to women who treat them with contempt. No woman will ever succeed in a relationship with a man until she learns to respect him. Why? Because men gravitate to places where they get the most respect, and they run from places where they feel disrespected. Men are terrified of dishonor. A nagging, belittling wife will never get her husband to open his heart and let her in. As Proverbs chapter 21, verse 19 says, better to live in a desert than with a quarrelsome and nagging wife. But a wife who looks up to her husband, who honors him with a gentle, quiet spirit, will always have his full heart. When men feel admired at home, they look forward to being there. They are more likely to succeed at what they do. Praise propels men to greatness. I once heard a great story to illustrate this. After a parade, the mayor of a large American city was walking with his wife when they passed a man sweeping the streets. The wife recognized the street sweeper as one of her old high school boyfriends. The three had a short conversation before the mayor and his wife continued on their way. Halfway down the street, the mayor leaned over to his wife and whispered, just think, if you had married him today, you'd be the wife of a street sweeper. His wife smiled and whispered back, no, if I had married him today, he'd be the mayor. I'm not sure if this story is true, he says. It's probably not, but it could be. A woman has enormous influence over her husband's future. Make no mistake, men who are respected at home tend to live up to their wife's expectation. Marriage is rarely a problem in homes where both partners have strong relationships with Christ and work hard to meet each other's basic needs. Basic needs? Wife, respect your husband. Husband, love your wife.